business success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. Join RVK for the award-winning RV On Business Show every Tuesday at 12 midday. It's not about thinking out of the box. There is no box. Only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome to 101.9 Chai FM. It's 10 minutes past 12. Thank you so much for joining us. And as you all know, we now sit after Yom Kippur, and what a tough day it really was for all of us around the world. And we're now going into Sukkot, which is the festival of joy. That is the festival where everybody really goes outside, welcomes people into their homes. And for those of us sitting in Israel, it's a very, very challenging time. I don't need to tell you, but, you know, my wife just walked into my study 2 minutes ago to say to me, there's been a pigua, there's been a terrorist attack near Yavne. That is exactly what happened to us nearly 3 years ago. My wife yelling down to me to say there had been a pigua, and it was very, very personal. But when I look at the photo, I know the road. I know exactly where that is. I've driven that road often. My daughter was there yesterday on the way to the beach. This is real. The terrorism, the way people here in Israel are living is palpable. And it affects all of us. When nighttime comes around here in Modi'in, it is dead quiet. Yom Kippur is usually very busy in the streets. Lots of kids on bicycles, a lot of activity. It was quiet. Not a car to be seen, not a child out. Parents just wanted to know where their families were. And yet, amidst all that, I sat down before Naila, and a friend of mine got up to speak. And I was wondering what he was going to say. Naila is the prayer that we say just at the close of Yom Kippur, as the sun is setting. We believe that the gates of heaven are open. And he turned around and he said, "Friends, I walked with my son to shul, to the synagogue on Rosh Hashanah, on the Jewish New Year, and I was holding his hand. And I remembered that last year I did exactly the same thing, except for the feelings were totally different. Last year I was full of hope, full of excitement. And this year I was full of dread, full of sadness, because as I was walking my son to shul, a family a couple of hundred meters from us had just buried their son who was killed in Lebanon." And the long and the short of what he said is the only way he got through Rosh Hashanah and he got through Yom Kippur is that he knows that, please God, next year he'll hold his son's hand again and walk to shul, to the synagogue with him on Rosh Hashanah in a different environment. And that's our fervent prayer for all of our brothers and sisters in Israel and around the world. But amidst that, there are people like myself who don't work in Israel as such, who have their practices and their businesses outside Israel. But there are so many businesses in Israel that rely on tourism, rely on a robust economy, rely on foot traffic, rely on people going out and enjoying life. And before I even introduce our guest, I just want to quickly scroll through his website and show you, just read to you one page that's there. Excuse me, I'm scrolling through the pictures, but I just want to get it accurate. It's a picture of a drawing of the word life, and out of the bottom of the F and the bottom of the E are wellsprings. And the inscription underneath is, "Don't waste a drop." Ki ein lanu tipa acheret. Don't waste a drop because we don't have another drop. A play on the words, we don't have another country. Ein lanu medina acheret. And it gives me great pleasure to welcome Adam Bodenstein, who is a tour guide, a winemaker, a businessman, a young man with a family who lives in Tzfat, who has really been in the thick of it. When I met Adam I didn't meet him personally. When I heard him speak on Monday night, it was at an event that friends of ours hosted on their beautiful balcony overlooking the hills of Modi'in. They invited Adam, to share with us some beautiful words of inspiration, also show us the beautiful wines that are, and whiskies that are made in Tzfat and the artwork. But to me, it hit a chord that Jews are reaching out to each other, helping and supporting each other. And it just gives me great pleasure. Adam, welcome to Chai FM.
Hi, Avi. Thanks so much for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Right. There was a bit of a long-winded intro, but, you know, Adam, the bottom line is this: you can't get more passionate about living in Israel than speaking to a person like yourself. You very tongue-in-cheek said, how's business in Tzfat? It's booming.
Right.
And for those of you who haven't spent time in a bomb shelter, it is maybe a little bit exciting the first time. It's a little bit irritating the second time. And thereafter, it is just absolutely disruptive. It's emotionally destroying. It is difficult to keep children motivated, keep children from getting upset and lasting with trauma. Adam, you lived through that in the holy city of Tzfat. Just to put it in context, South African Jews, when you go to shul on synagogue on Friday night and we sing Lecha Dodi across the world, that was composed in Tzfat. All the beautiful mystical things that we have so rich in our religion comes from Tzfat. Those of you who follow a Hasidic way, the roots of that come from Tzfat. You know, that is the center. And Adam is someone who lives there, who does tours there. Adam, let's just get into the here and now. What's it like for you and your family living in the holy city of Tzfas at the moment?
Okay, so maybe I should give a little bit of background about myself.
Absolutely.
So I am about 41 years old, happily married, father of five, kids between the ages of 6 and 17. And I made Aliyah. I moved to Israel over 20 years ago, right after university. I grew up in Los Angeles, California. And I grew up in a traditional Jewish family. Got a bit more in touch with the even more traditional side of Judaism in later high school and getting into university. And eventually, while working at a Jewish summer camp in Southern California, I met my wife-to-be. She was working there as well as I was. She had come from Israel. She's Israeli and worked the summer there teaching Hebrew. I was a camp counselor. And basically after that summer, we knew that was it. And I made my way to Israel shortly after I finished my university degree, because if I wouldn't finish that, going across the world and all of that kind of stuff, give my parents a full on heart attack. So at least I gave them the joy of knowing that their son at least had a degree. In all truth, I like to call it a degree in nothing. It's a degree in religious studies and history. But hey, what are you gonna do? And I've been in Israel since early 2005, since 2007. And my wife is from the north, I should mention. And since 2007, we've been living here in Tzfat. Absolutely love this city, and I've been guiding full time and specializing in guiding in Tzfat. Since maybe around 2011, 2012, and specializing in tours here. But you were just saying a minute ago, Avi, about how things were like a year ago around Yom Kippur for somebody, you know, to walk to shul. And I've been thinking about that a lot, you know, what it was like for me a summer ago, you know, guiding in Tzfat and just like the bustling streets and tons of tours. I would have two or three tours a day, every day, you know, throughout the summer. And summer in Israel, we really think about it like from Pesach to, you know, till after the Chagim, till after the Jewish high holidays, you know, so it was quite busy. And I've had a handful of tours over the course of the last year since the war began. So as you can imagine, I guess you used the word disruptive has really been it. So that was my long-winded introduction, but truly to answer your question, Avi, how is Tzfat these days? It is On the one hand, as you mentioned that I said, it's booming, meaning we have probably somewhere between, two or three sirens, for rocket attacks or whatever each day or close to each day. I would say since early September. Before that, it was a little bit less, but once we started to go, full on into Lebanon, it increased. But nonetheless, since the beginning of the war, the entire tourism economy in the country, I would say, but for sure in the north and definitely in Sfat, has pretty much been at a standstill. And it trickles down because the economy of Sfat itself, being a small mountain town, one that's focused on art and spirituality, a lot of the people here either directly are dependent on the tourism, on incoming tourism, or indirectly, even if it's just a cafe, on the main street. I definitely know lots of people in the food industry. And in the service industry with hotels and things like that that obviously have zero work whatsoever.
Adam, I'm
And
going to
go
let
for
you
it.
know. Take a quick break and run to the shops. Someone needs to pay for the to keep the radio station
Please.
running. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Adam Bodenstein, welcome back to 101.9 High FM. So you were saying before we went to the break that as tourism has literally died in Swat, and so many of the people that are totally reliant on that foot traffic. Are now starting to really feel the pinch. That's trickling down to the rest of the country.
Right, exactly. What we were talking about before, obviously, is that the people in Sfat who are very, very dependent on all of you guys coming to visit us have definitely had a lot of difficulty over the course of the year. Very little in the way of income, and just as importantly, I would say, is people who work in tourism. It's a face-to-face kind of interaction. So even if there are some people who are able to receive, let's say, some financial assistance, perhaps from the government, and whatever it is, it's never quite enough. It's not the same. We miss seeing you. We miss seeing all of you guys coming. I take a wander around the old city alleyways, once in a while. And I run into, the caretaker of the Arizal synagogue, exactly where you were talking about a second ago, Avi, where Lecha Dudi was composed. And I run into the caretaker, and he embraces me, and it's so special for him to even just be able to see me, because he knows that when I'm coming, I'm generally coming with visitors, and he's grateful to see me. He wishes that I was there with visitors, but we pray for better days. It's just sort of like this. Hanging on, to the edge, kind of a feeling, just praying that, not as you said, that tourism has died in Sfat, but rather that, it's sort of hibernating. And please God, when we'll be done with all of this and successful and victorious completely, that we'll be able to, get back to business, with dignity. So that's just, a little bit about kind of what's going on the business side of things.
Adam, when it comes to business of Tzfat itself, I've been there a few times, obviously, and one gets that feeling that the town really survives primarily on tourism, agriculture. Mixed in with that is a whole lot of art of all different shapes and forms. And when tourism doesn't come through, it obviously impacts the city itself. But it obviously impacts everything and surrounding it. You came through with a whole array of wines from wineries and distilleries. Just let us talk us through how that those two industries are doing. First of all, how they sort of got up and running in that area and how they're faring at the moment.
Okay, so when we met a couple of days ago, We met in the context of coming to a beautiful evening at a host family in Modi'in, where myself and a couple of the guys working at the Tzfat distillery, were coming to bring some of the, products from Tzfat, at least to, to Modi'in. So during in the context of my tours over the last several years, I have made sure every single tour to stop by my friends over at the Tzfat distillery. And I find it to be a bit of a win-win. Partnerships in the tourism industry are always helpful. And particularly for this one, I love it a lot because when I stop at the Tzfat distillery, again, just as a little bit of context, it's right in the middle of the holy city, it's Tzfat, right in the middle of the old city, very close to the Arizal shul. And we get to go in there in the middle of the tour, and every single time the reaction of people is, "Wow, what a beautiful place. It's just been renovated from a ruin from 350 years ago after the major earthquake in Tzfat." And the place is, all of the antiques and antiquities of the sculpture and the architecture, and it's been turned into this beautiful distillery. And underground, they have an ancient cellar, and the place itself basically is amazing. But the people who work there are just incredibly special individuals. They're just mensches, and always with a smile and welcoming everybody in, and gracious to be able to have everyone come. So it's a nice place to be able to, get a good l'chaim in the middle of a tour and to taste. But ultimately, what the place itself is sort of the home or the hub for the best of, the North's and Tzfat's wines and distilled products. So they have a partnership with, so everything's partnerships. They have a partnership with the Golani Distillery in the Golan Heights in Katsrin, for many of the whiskies and some of the araks and gins. They have partnerships with various different small wineries in Tzfat and surrounding Tzfat. Most of them they've put under their own label of Chateau Tzfat and are not able to be found anywhere else besides by them. And in that way, it's sort of products of the area of the north. And in that way, everybody gets to be able to come and taste different kinds of things, whatever they enjoy, take something home with them, order and get it shipped. And when we came to visit you, we brought it to you guys in Modi'in. And, needless to say, all of the different individuals, whether it's, the distillery in Tzfat, the distillery in Katsrin, the various different winemakers, the people in the fields and the vineyards themselves. Of course, all of these things have been hit very, very, very hard by the lack of tourism. I can't tell you how many times, I've taken people myself as a tour guide to various different wineries and seen, just like by me and my wife driving around, how many of their visitor centers are completely closed up, how many times rockets have hit, the fields. Nobody talks about that. Fires, that break out. We spoke, Avi, on Sunday night about how one of the different wineries that the Tzfat Distillery works with is the Avivim Winery. They are a moshav, an agricultural community on the border of Lebanon, and very early on in the war, they sustained a direct hit from a rocket to their visitor center and have been closed ever since. Not just as the visitor center, but just being able to like produce, they can't produce anything. So it's a very, very direct kind of hit, I guess, to say to all of us in these various different industries that are interconnected.
For those
One
who
of
are
the
listening,
things that I mentioned to all of the guests on Sunday night.
no,
One of
I'm
the
sorry,
things I
Amazon,
mentioned on
just
Sunday
coming
night,
back, but please continue.
is that the Golani Distillery, in Katsrin, who we work with, the master distiller, his son was injured on the border with Lebanon very early on in the war, and he decided to take his best barrel of whiskey, and he made 200 bottles out of it. And every single bottle has sort of like this sort of a picture of a chayal, of a soldier, and it says chai on it for life. And every single bottle has on it a different story of a different soldier who has been injured since the beginning of the war. And some of them even with phone numbers, you could reach out to these to the families. And every one of these bottles that's sold, he gives a small bottle of that barrel to that soldier and his family. And there's sort of a connection made between the buyer and the injured soldiers and their families. This was just one particular little example of like how all of these people have been affected in a way, perhaps though how he reacted to it with a positive spin. He turned all of this into like a collector's item, collector's series of bottles. Anyways, these are just some of the examples to answer your question.
Adam, the bottom line is it's not anyways. It is exactly the point. And I don't think I've ever said this on air in all the years, but I'm appealing to anybody of means, anybody who's happy to go out and buy a bottle of maybe Johnnie Walker Black and above and spend the money for a Shabbat, for a Kiddush, to go into Adam's website, uncoverisrael.net, be in touch with me. I'll put you in touch with Adam. By buying this bottle of whiskey, you are buying a piece of history. You are buying something that, please God, will never be replicated. But most importantly, when that chayal gets his small bottle or her small bottle, they know that a Jew around the world or a person around the world made an effort to buy the bigger bottle in order to connect to Israel, in order to pump money into the economy, in order to show that they care. I really appeal that by the end of the show, that Adam will get enough phone calls that there'll be no more stock left. We don't want to miss out on this golden opportunity to be able to support people in the North directly, to be able to connect with this injured soldier directly, and be able to make an impact. The last time I left the Kotel, I was there last Wednesday. Yes, last Wednesday. I must get my days right. Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as I was walking out, there was a young man in a prosthetic. I was tired. It was the end of the day. It had been quite hot, and then it got quite cold, and I was like ready to leave. But I saw the glee on this young man's face. I'm assuming that he is a young person who's been injured in this war. When a person like that can show positivity and excitement to come to the Kotel, can show that every drop of life must never be wasted, we need to jump on the bandwagon. There are communities that need our support in absolutely every way, and it's great that we feel it. But now we've got to the point that everything we've done for our Chayalim is in place. And I can tell you from my own experience, they have everything that they need. Niceties they can always have. Good underwear and good socks and a bar of chocolate is wonderful. But the tziyud, the actual equipment that they need, Israel's up to date with that. What we need now is people, when they come to Israel, to think carefully about where they spend their dollars, their pounds, and their very many rands that they bring with them. Because communities up north that really, really need it. Yes, Ben Yehuda and Yerushalayim has had a hard time. The volumes are down. But think about communities where there's been absolutely no income. And by you going there and spending your money there, that's where the wheels start to turn. Adam, let's turn to something a little bit more exciting. I'm looking at your website. First of all, kol hakavod, whoever did it. It's tangible. I feel like crawling into the pictures. Sfat itself is no dissimilar to Yerushalayim, to Tveria. It's just an old city full of old stones and alleyways. And if you don't know what you're looking at, it just becomes one stone of after another. Can you just maybe unpack Sfat for us? What can somebody expect who's never been to Sfat? Paint the picture to us. It's a mountaintop city. It was the home of mysticism of the Jews for thousands of years, hundreds of years. What can someone expect in 2024, 2025?
So, I can speak about Tzfat for hours and hours, of course, but to sort of wrap it up into a nutshell, I always, consider a question to my participants at the beginning of our tours. And we talk about how Tzfat is one of the four holy cities of the land of Israel, alongside Jerusalem, Tiberias, Hebron, and of course Tzfat itself, and how each of them is connected to a different element of the world. Hebron to earth, Jerusalem fire, Tiberias to water, and Tzfat is air. Well, it's not really air, because the Hebrew word that would have been used is ruach. And for all of our Hebrew speakers out there, ruach is air, wind, and most importantly, spirit. But I always ask everybody, what is the ruach of Tzfat? What's the spirit of this place? Because when you go to all of the other holy cities, you know exactly where you have to go. When you go to Hebron, you go to the Cave of the Patriarchs and Matriarchs. When you go to Yerushalayim, you go to the Kotel, the Holy Western Wall. When you go to Tiberias, you go to the Kinneret. But Tzfat, do we have one particular focus? Well, we got some old alleyways, we got some ancient synagogues, we got some interesting people, art. It's all over the place. But that's the beauty of Tzfat, because when you go through those alleyways, you hear the stories, the legends. You talk about, the different kinds of stories that have come from Kabbalah, the Jewish mysticism. You see the ancient gods. You understand at the end of the time in Tzfat that the Ruach of Tzfat is the Ruach of Tzfat. The spirit of this place is just palpable. You can feel it as you go through the stones. That's one of the things that I love the most about this place.
Adam, there's a yeshuv called Kfar Shammai
Yes.
across the valley. Good friends of ours went there, three couples, for a Shabbat and spent the whole Shabbos looking at Tzfat. And then we went there afterwards. My wife and I had to go on to the next engagement, but the other two couples stayed there. And I was just amazed as, three different couples being in Tzfat, we're all attracted to different things. Everybody had their own agenda as to what they wanted to do. And that's exactly, I think, what you alluded to. It pulled on the heartstrings of different people. Adam, technology has its limitations, and we've got 4 minutes and 37 seconds of limitation left. How do
Very good.
people get hold of you?
So you guys are more than welcome to look me up through my website, as you mentioned before, uncoverisrael.net. You can find there my phone number. You can find there my email. I'm on Instagram, Tzfat Guide Adam. I'm on Facebook under my name, Adam Bodenstein. And would love to take you guys around Tzfat ASAP. Please, God, we'll have, very soon victory and peace and a true peace. But come and visit us in Tzfat. We'll definitely take you for a l'chaim with my friends over at the Tzfat Distillery. Please, God, we'll see you guys back in Israel as soon as possible.
Adam, just before I let you need to let you go, if you were in Johannesburg, I would say to you that you have to come to this. Have you heard about the amazing opportunity to reach our vibrant Jewish community through 101.9 High FM? If you're looking to connect with educated, engaged listeners who value insightful talk radio, this is your chance. Right now, we are offering advertising spots for only 200 rand each. Adam, how many shekel is 200 rand?
It's me. I'm the American.
American, it's about $12. But
Okay.
Harry, we have limited spots available. If you want to make an impact, contact us at info@chaiFM.com today. Let us manage your advertising on Chai FM, broadcasting locally and to the world. Adam, for someone like yourself who is all about partnerships, all about helping somebody else. We know that the Kotel and the Beit HaMikdash, was built there on the threshing floor because of the story of brothers helping one another. And we had the zechut to have two Batei Mikdash there. And please God, we'll have the third one soon. And in the zechut
Amen.
of what you do for your colleagues and friends in the area, what you do to educate people to who come to Tzfat with a sense of positivity and love. Please God, this war will come to an end. And I just really hope that one day we say Bila, that the evil will disappear altogether and people will realize that the family Bodenstein, all they want to do is live in peace and live in serenity with all the surrounding neighbors, Jews and Arabs. Be
Amen.
prosperous for everybody is in the country. And they have done nothing that deserves to be shelled and bombed on an ongoing basis, except for one crime that we are all guilty of and all proud of, and that is being Jewish. We are Jewish. The Holy Land of Israel is ours in its entirety. Everybody who lives there is welcome to live in security and with a sense of being and belonging, Jew and non-Jew. But we will protect our borders, we will protect our people, and we will continue, unfortunately, to have that phone call like a friend of mine did on Yom Kippur Day, where his son called him to say, "Abba, my commander told me to call you and Imma, to call you and my mother to say, I'm going into Lebanon." And clearly the prayers in Yom Kippur changed from then on. Please God, that will never happen again. Adam, wishing you and your family and your entire community huge amounts of success. And Sukkot should be as happy as we've ever known it. Thank you so much for your time.
Amen. Thank you so much, Abby, for having me on. Really appreciate it. Can't wait to see you up in Tzfat.
Absolutely. Craig, thanks for pushing the buttons. We'll chat to you next week.